Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala Habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alaihi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Suhail bin Amr, who had come to negotiate the release of the hostages of the Quraysh, when he had witnessed the Bay'atul Ridwan, the manner in which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had rushed to pledge allegiance at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were prepared to fight till death in order to avenge and take revenge for the blood and for the life of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, regarding whom they had received the rumor that they were made shaheed. So when he saw this, he went and he returned to the Quraysh and he informed them of what he had witnessed. When the Quraysh heard of this, they became terrified, they became worried that if these people are prepared to give their life in this manner, then the best option for us is for us to enter into a peace treaty with them and to make an agreement with them. So they say, one of the seniors, one of the understanding people says, that go back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make this agreement with him that this year he will not come and perform Umrah. So that the Quraysh will, the Arabs will all hear that we stopped him and we prevented him from coming. One of the very important aspects or very important priorities for them was their pride and their honor, their dignity. What will the people say? What will the Arabs say? So if we stop him from coming this year, then this message will go around that we managed to stop him. We are not gone weak. We can still defend Makkah Mukarramah and we can stop him from coming. So make this agreement with him that this year he should not come. However, next year we will allow him to come for 3 days. He can come into Makkah Mukarramah. He should not come with any extra weapons of war, the normal weapons that they would carry, a sword that he can come with. And 3 days they can come to Makkah Mukarramah, spend in Makkah Mukarramah. We will evacuate Makkah Mukarramah. They can come and make their Umrah for 3 days and then they can return. So Suhail bin Amr now goes with two others, Huwaitib and Mukriz. He goes with them to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him coming, he says that this man is coming because they want to enter into an agreement and a treaty with us. He came and he sat close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had a lengthy discussion with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until finally they decided on the following 5 clauses of this treaty. The first clause was that for 10 years there will be no fighting between the Quraysh and between the Muslims. So there will be a ceasefire for 10 years. Secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will return to Madinah Munawwara and he will come back the next year for 3 days without any weapons, as was explained. Thirdly, if any person from the Quraysh comes over to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without the permission of his guardian, then he will be sent back to Makkah Mukarramah. So although he accepts Islam and he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without the permission of his guardian, he will be sent back to the Quraysh, he will be sent back to his family in Makkah Mukarramah. Conversely, if any Muslim has to renege from his faith, he has to give up his Islam and he has to go over to Makkah Mukarramah, then the Quraysh will not send him back. On this point, later on, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of a clause is this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if a person leaves our deen, then we got no place for him. We don't need him. We don't need him anymore. So if he remains among the kuffar, then we don't have any issue. On the other hand, that person who accepts Islam and comes to us, then we will send him back, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely make a way out for him. And inshallah, later on we will discuss how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a way out for some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this was the fourth clause. And the fifth was that the remainder Arab tribes were at liberty to enter into an agreement with either the Quraysh or with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They can enter into agreement with either of the parties. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussed these clauses with Suhail bin Amr. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum heard of these clauses, it was not yet signed as a treaty. When they heard of these clauses, then it was very difficult for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to accept such clauses. This was a one-sided treaty. So it was difficult for them to accept, especially Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. We all know the great might and strength that Allah had given Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And now the Muslims were in a position of strength. They could fight. And they were confident that inshallah they will defeat the enemy. But in such a situation now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is accepting these kind of one-sided clauses. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was very deeply affected. Added to the fact that they were pining to go to Baytullah. Very, very deep desire to go to the Kaaba to make Umrah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed them of the dream that he had seen. After so many years, they were distanced from Makkah Mukarramah. We can well imagine what must have been the level of their emotions. One, just for us to understand it, one is a person like us, far away from Makkah Mukarramah. We had no real links with the Kaaba. And a person now, there were some chances of him going for Umrah. He does all his bookings. He goes to the airport. He goes to the immigrations. And they tell him there's some problem with his passport. He can't travel. What happens to this person? This is a person who lived, was born in far away from Makkah Mukarramah. And he was brought up far away. And although he may have that desire, his desire can never compare to the desire of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And now we have these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whom in the words of Mawlana Sayyid Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi rahimahullah, رُضِعُوا بِلِبَانِ حُبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَتَعْظِيمِهَا. He says it was as if they were breastfed with the milk of the love of the Kaaba. From a young age, they were the love of the Kaaba was ingrained within them. وَامْتَزَجَ ذَلِكَ بِلُحُومِهِمْ وَدِمَائِهِمْ. The love of the Kaaba had permeated every pore and every cell of their body. And these are Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This was the attachment that they had. They had that hope after 6 years to see Baytullah. The emotions were very high. And now this transpires. There is this kind of treaty which is about to be signed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was overcome by emotions to such an extent that he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understanding again the position of Umar radiallahu anhu was the position of an advisor to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had the liberty to speak a little more freely with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than others. So he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَسْتَ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. O Nabi of Allah, aren't you the true Nabi of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بَلَا, definitely. He says, أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَعَدُوُّنَا عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. Aren't we on the truth and our enemy is on falsehood? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, definitely. He goes on to say, أَلَيْسَ قَتْلَانَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَقَتْلَاهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. Isn't it the fact that those that will be made shaheed from among us will go to Jannat, and those that will be killed from among our enemy will go to Jahannam? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agrees to this. Then he goes on to say, فَعَلَامَ نُعْتِ الدَّنِيَّةَ أَوْ نُعْتَ الدَّنِيَّةَ فِي دِينِنَا. Then, O Nabi of Allah, why must we suffer this kind of humiliation? And why should we make these kind of compromises in our deen? When we are on the truth, when you are the true Nabi of Allah, when those that will be made shaheed from among us will be going to Jannat, then why must we compromise in this manner? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies to Umar radiallahu anhu, Inni abdullahi wa rasulu. O Umar, I am the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَسْتُ عَصِيهِ. I will never disobey any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْ يُضَيِّعَنِي. Allah will not forsake me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow me to perish and be destroyed. وَهُوَ نَاصِرِي. Allah is my helper. Then he goes on to say, O Umar, tarani raditu wa ta'ba. You can see that I am so happy. Why are you finding it difficult to accept this? Umar radiallahu an, still overcome by emotion, He goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he poses the exactly same question to Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Alaysa Nabiyyallahi haqqa? Isn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the true Nabi of Allah? Aren't we on the truth and our enemies on that those that will be made shaheed from among us will go to Jannat, and those that will be killed from our enemies will go to Jahannam? So he asks all these questions. He poses these questions to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the amazing thing is that without knowing the answers that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave the exactly same answers. The exactly same answers that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave the same answers to Umar radiallahu anhu. The ulama explained that here we understand the very, very close link and connection that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu enjoyed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so closely linked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He understood Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so well. So well he understood Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that not knowing the answers that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he thought the same way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would think. And in this situation, where he also supposed to be emotional, but he was so composed, he was so calm, and he gave the exactly same answers that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Umar radiallahu anhu. We understand the greatness of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that when a great person like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also became emotional, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was so composed and he was so content knowing that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gives the exactly same answers. This was one such situation. And the other very famous situation was the incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. At that time also sahaba were very emotional. Umar radiallahu anhu was extremely emotional that he said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not passed away. He has gone to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I will kill that person. And at that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was supposed to be very, very affected because of his close link to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was so composed that he came in the masjid and he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, you sit down, and he recites that ayat of Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, and he gave that message to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that message that they required at that time. So this was the position of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He held a very, very high position, and therefore there was no question that anyone else could become the Khalif after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam besides Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nevertheless, so this Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives the same answer to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, as we explained, the level of emotions and the deep desire that he had, etc., and the reason why he was excused in this situation. However, he would mention later on, he would say, فَعَمِلْتُ لِذَٰلِكَ أَعْمَالًا, that later on in my life, I did lot of a'mal to cover up for the manner in which I behaved with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. Although he was excused, and it was not disrespectful, rather he was consumed by emotion. It was his deep desire for Baytullah, and it was his attachment to deen, it was his fervor for deen, and his readiness to sacrifice for deen that spurred him on to behave in that manner. But Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that later on in life, فَعَمِلْتُ لِذَٰلِكَ أَعْمَالًا, I did lot of a'mal, I gave lot of sadaqah, I performed lot of salah, I fasted, I freed slaves, all so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive me for the manner in which I conducted myself with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day. مَخَافَتَ كَلَامِي, out of fear for that statement of minds to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to write this treaty. And he dictates. And the first line that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dictates, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, which is very, very common for us. We start everything with Bismillah. However, in the days of Jahiliyyah, pre-Islam, then the kuffar were not used to this phrase. They would not say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So Suhail bin Amr, he objects and he says that we don't know who's Ar-Rahman. We don't know who is Ar-Rahman. This is not something that we are common with. Write what we would write in what we write, Bismikallahumma. So this was the way they would write, Bismikallahumma. There's nothing wrong. In this statement, Bismikallahumma as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Sayyidun Ali radiallahu an, change it from Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim to Bismikallahumma. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not compromising on some important aspect of deen. Rather, it was completely permissible. It is completely permissible for us to say Bismikallahumma as well. If this will make him happy, and this will be a means of us coming to this important agreement, then no problem, we will compromise on this, which is not an essential and integral part of our deen. So he asked Ali radiallahu anhu to change it to Bismikallahumma. Thereafter, Rasulullah s.a.w. continues to dictate, هَذَا مَا قَاضَى عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. This is the agreement that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made. Again, Suhail bin Amr objects. He says that if we believed you to be the Rasul of Allah, then we wouldn't have stopped you from Baytullah. We wouldn't have needed to sign this kind of agreement. The whole issue and the fight and objection is, the issue of contention is, that we don't believe you to be the Rasul of Allah. So write Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Write Muhammad the son of Abdullah. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Ali radiallahu anhu, change it. Ali radiallahu anhu could not manage to wipe out the word Rasulullah from the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That how can I erase this? How can I take this out? How can I scratch it out? Rasulullah with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name. How can I remove this? So Ali radiallahu anhu respectfully, he excused himself. That O Nabi of Allah, I won't manage to do this. I won't manage to wipe out your name, wipe out Rasulullah from your name. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unlettered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not read. He asked Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to show him where it was written. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own hands, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped it out. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am the Rasul of Allah. Whether they accept me to be the Rasul of Allah or not, it doesn't change my status of being the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here again, it did not affect any integral part of deen. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of the agreement, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was prepared to write Muhammad ibn Abdullah, because that also was 100% true. He was Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu later on used to say that I witnessed this spectacle where Suhail bin Amr objected to the phrase Rasulullah being written with the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that, he made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam erase it. But then later on, a few years later, approximately 4 years later, I witnessed another spectacle. And it was the Hajjatul Wada, the final Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I see the same Suhail bin Amr, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slaughtering the 63 camels that he slaughtered personally. And thereafter Ali radiallahu anhu slaughtered the remainder. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slaughtering these camels, then I saw the same Suhail bin Amr passing the camels to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to slaughter these camels. And he says that when the hair was falling from the Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it was the same Suhail bin Amr who would catch the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and attach it to his body. He says, then I remembered what I had seen that time and I saw this. I said, فَحَمِدْتُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي هَدَاهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah had guided him to Islam. While this treaty was being signed, the son of Suhail bin Amr, Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu, who was a sahabi, he had accepted Islam, and his father had chained him. His father, Abu Suhail bin Amr, had imprisoned him and chained him in Makkah Mukarramah. He somehow managed to escape with those chains of his. He did not go on the normal route because he will be apprehended. He went through a very difficult mountainous route and he finally presents himself in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came there in those chains. In those chains, he was tired, he was fatigued, and he just throws himself in front of the Muslims. When he came in this way, the Muslims came to welcome him. Obviously, the difficulty that he has undergone to come and join up with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, his father was there, and his father says that this is the first person that you will have to send back, according to the agreement that we made. That anyone who comes without the permission of his guardian will be sent back. This is the first person that I'm demanding that you must send him back. His father grabs him very, very forcefully. He hits him in front of the Muslims again. One was the emotions of the Muslims were so high, and now they are seeing someone who had accepted Islam, and he is being tortured in this manner, and he is being treated in this manner, and then the demand is that now he must be sent back. Rasulullah ﷺ says that we haven't yet signed the agreement. We haven't concluded the agreement. So allow him. He says, if you want him to be excluded, then there's no agreement whatsoever. We're not going to sign this treaty. So Rasulullah ﷺ says to him, alright, give him protection. It was common at that time that protection would be given to people and no one will interfere with him. So for my sake, give him protection so no one will interfere with him in Makkah Mukarramah. He says, I'm not prepared to give him protection. The other two disbelievers that were with Suhail bin Amr, Huwaitib and Mukriz, they say that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will give him protection from our side. Now, Suhail, Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu realizes that he is going to be sent back to the to Makkah Mukarramah, to the Kuffar. So loudly he calls out among the Muslim army and he says, O Muslims, see what is happening to me. I'm going to be sent back to Makkah Mukarramah and I'm going to be punished by the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. So again, naturally, it increased the emotions of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It very, very greatly affected the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Ya Aba Jandal, isbir wahtasib. O Abu Jandal, be patient and hope for reward. Allah will reward you for all the difficulties that you are going through. These difficulties are not going in vain. Allah will reward you for every bit of sabr that you make. فَإِنَّا لَا نَغْدِرْ. But remember, we cannot be treacherous. We cannot go against our word. We have given our word, although not signed, but verbally we have already made this agreement, and we can't go against this agreement of ours. How many times it happens that we go against our agreements just for some extra money, just to make some extra profit, we prepared to go against our agreements. Here, although the Sahabi was now being sent back to the lion's den, so to say, but Rasulullah ﷺ says that we have made this verbal agreement. It's not yet signed. We can't go against this agreement. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَاعِلٌ لَكَ فَرَجًا وَمَخْرَجًا. And rest assured, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for you. Allah will make an exit for you. And inshallah, you will come out from this problem of yours. Umar radiallahu anhu was very, very affected. So he says that I walked with Abu Jandal as he is being taken, as he is being led. I walked next to him. I consoled him. And I began to give him a message. So he says to him that the mushrikeen, their blood is equal to dog's blood. The blood of the mushrikeen is equal to dog's blood. And he says, I was pushing my sword towards him, the handle of my sword, I was pushing it towards him. I was hoping that he takes my sword and he strikes his father and he kills his father. Because his father was on the other side. So I am sort of encouraging him, telling him that the mushrikeen's blood is very cheap. It's like the dog's blood. And he goes on to say, he says that if we had to face our own fathers and they became the obstacle for us in deen, then we will strike and kill our own fathers also. He says, I was hoping that he will take my sword. But Abu Jandal says to me, then why don't you kill him? So he says that because Rasulullah ﷺ has stopped us. So Abu Jandal says, look at how dear they held the command of Rasulullah ﷺ. He says that if you have to follow this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I also have to follow this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although I am in this situation, I cannot kill my father because this is the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It applies to you, it applies to me as well. Never mind what's going to happen, but I can't do this. So this was the manner in which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu tried to encourage him to kill his father. But Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu refused. And this was the emotions of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum at that time. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was divinely guided. And there was great khair and goodness that came out from this treaty, as we will discuss inshallah in the future discussions. The great khair and goodness that came out from this treaty, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted this treaty and this treaty was signed. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.